Hello and welcome to Core Women. My name is Dr. Summer Watson and I'm the founder of Core Women and I'm also an empowerment strategist for women. So if you're listening to this podcast to delve more into empowerment strategies, well, you're here for the right reason. However, Core Women was also developed because it's a special place that provides a unique idea of home for the hearts and souls of women. It's a place for us to share our strength, energy, wisdom, and authenticity. It's a place for women to find support and strategic empowerment ideas that will help support their lives. Today on the show, I'd like to welcome Annabelle Marquez, owner and founder of Mommy in Los Angeles magazine. So let's get right into talking about your journey, Annabelle, and welcome.
Thank you, Summer. It's such an honor to be on your podcast, and you know, thank you for the opportunity. I would say my journey started right out of college when I decided to venture into the world of journalism. I've always been a very inquisitive person. I've always loved just, you know, being surrounded by diversity and learning about the world around me. You know, as a girl that was born and raised in East Los Angeles and then moved over to, you know, Ventura County, I feel like my background also always made me very curious to learn about my parents' journey and how they met in the United States. All this to say, I graduated from college and I landed my first job in journalism at the Dallas Morning News, which had just launched a Spanish language a daily publication named Al Día. So I thought this is great. I get to write in Spanish and possibly have my stories published also in the Dallas Morning News. And so that's where it all started. And I was very happy. It was, you know, a very, very exciting time for me to be a journalist and to just be sent out on assignments and to be the first to arrive before the big TV cameras got there during breaking news events and things like that. So I did the journalism thing for a while, and then I got married, which is a wonderful thing. The problem was my husband had just started working in Los Angeles in a law enforcement position, and he couldn't think of, you know, leaving his brand new job to kind of follow me at every market that I ascended to. So when you're in journalism, especially when you start out at a small market and then you move on up. The idea was for me to eventually make the leap to Los Angeles, but I had to get some more experience. When I got married, I decided to move a little closer to California. I got a job in Las Vegas. And then it came to the point where my husband said, you know, it's not going to work out. You know, we can't do a long distance marriage. And I agreed. I just loved my profession. I loved my career. But I knew that it was time for me to say bye if I wasn't able to, you know, make marriage and career work. And I was okay with it. So I came back to LA and I landed a very comfortable, a very safe, and a wonderful government job as a PR spokesperson for a government agency, which is where I've been for nearly 10 years now. So it starts there, Summer. The journey starts there because once I became a mom and the routine of the government work just kind of had already, you know, that honeymoon phase where everything's new and you've got stuff to learn and you're, you know, when that passed and then you know, we decided to start family planning and I had kids, going to the federal building and sitting at a cubicle for 8 hours and coming home to, you know, beautiful little humans that needed attention, that needed help, I feel like I started losing a sense of self-identity. I started wondering things like, is this what my life has come to? Not that I wasn't very happy to have children and to raise them, but I feel like at that point I started questioning things like, is this really all that's you know, is this all that's there to me? Is you know, is there right. Anything more that I can offer society and the world than, you know, sitting for 8 hours inside a cubicle, coming to crying babies and feeling overwhelmed? And that's when I decided that I needed to get back to what I loved. So I started to think, at what point in my life did I feel the happiest? And I remember it was sitting down and taking notes or interviewing people and writing a story. And that's when I said, you know, I have to do this, even if it's going to be adding more to my plate. I know I have kids. I know I have a full-time job, but I have to start a publication where I can get back to being a reporter. And that's where the idea of Mommy in Los Angeles magazine came about. And why Mommy? Well, because it was my world, you know, raising boys and meeting other women, figuring out how they were trying to balance motherhood and still finding ways to manifest self-love. So that's what I did. We launched in August of 2018. It was a wonderful event. The magazine is gaining momentum and, you know, getting ready for our next publication. So that's a little bit of the background there.
That's awesome. And I have to, you know, interject here, because when you're talking about working at a distance in a relationship, I completely get it. You know, I was a military wife for 21 plus years. My husband was in the Marine Corps. And so we moved around every 3 years. And,
wow,
you know, you go to school and you have this, you envision things for yourself, right? Before you're married. And
sure.
And you think, this is what I want to do. And you've got, you know, I don't think they're visions of grandeur. I think they're visions of what you want your reality to look like. And so you want to be this professional and you want to work in this profession. And then you meet somebody, right? And you think,
okay, it happens.
It happens. You can't help who you love or who you fall in love with. And, you know, that's difficult. And so I also tried to have my profession from a distance, because we lived in Sacramento and I found this job. I absolutely loved the people that I worked with. I loved everything about it. And I knew that it would help me establish tenure in my field of profession. And then we got transferred to San Diego. And so we moved there. And after we moved there, I was like, I can't do this. I need to go back. Like, I'm not leaving you. I love you. I just need to go back to my profession, and I want to see if that's going to work, you know, a long distance relationship. Well, of course, that didn't necessarily work out, and he ended up going back to San Diego because, you know, it's really hard to have a long distance relationship, right?
It's very hard. I really feel for you. I know that feeling, and especially when you're living in such a great city like San Diego. I mean, for me, I was living in Las Vegas, which, you know, there's always parties, there's always things going on. And then you have your husband who's coming home from work and you can't just see each other and have that connection. And so, you know, as much as I wanted him to move to Las Vegas, and I'm sure you also wish, you know, to find a happy medium. Sometimes the reality is long distance relationships, you know, either you live in the same place or, you know, things start kind of slowly falling apart, you know?
Right. And did you notice too that you got questions, you know, from either, you know, parents, in-laws, friends, like,
oh my goodness, all the time.
are you really making this decision because this is healthy for your relationship, or are you being selfish and making this decision because this is solely what you want? It's like, wow. And we really, you know, as women and, you know, coming from, and I don't know how old you are, but I was raised in the 80s and,
yeah,
you
know, and then I just turned 38.
Okay. And I'm 49. So, you know, I'm a little older, but, you know, I had a very, very independent mom and she raised me very independently and, you know, through the 80s, 90s, and they said, you can do anything you want and you just need to make it happen. And so, you know, it wasn't that separating and trying to, you know, focus on my profession. My intent wasn't to inhibit my relationship. My intent was, I've always been that independent woman. I went to Berkeley, then I went to law school, and then I went, you know, it's like, I want my profession. That was what was
absolutely
really important to me. Yet then you fall in love and you're like, wow, how do you juggle this? Whereas I knew that he couldn't give up his profession, right?
Right. And then, Summer, you know, there's also other issues that sometimes you're not aware of. For example, what if your partner wasn't raised in an environment where their parents or their family made them feel that confidence that you got from your mom, or in my case, from my dad? My mom was more of a shy figure. She's a lovely, wonderful woman. But my dad was, you know, the patriarch, the leader of the house. And he had three daughters, and I'm the oldest. And for him, it was, you will do whatever you want to do in this life. We will support you. If that means traveling the world, if that means leaving the house. So we always felt like we could do anything, right?
Right.
But my husband, on the other hand, was raised in a household where, you know, the mom, my mother-in-law, who was a lovely, and I love her so much, but she was more reserved, and she really wanted her kids around most of the time. So they didn't necessarily have that. So it's also hard to understand where you have this desire to do something that makes you really happy. And the question is like, well, why wouldn't you want to just be home? You know, why wouldn't you want to just be back in LA where you're from, where you're familiar, where you know people, where you have family. So it's also dealing with that.
Absolutely.
But no, yes, absolutely.
Oh, there's gender roles. There's culture. There's, there is so much that is, you know, is coming at you when you're making these decisions about your life, and you just don't realize it in the moment, like how much that's going to impact you and what you have to think about. And then you do, and you look back on it and go, wow, how did I overcome these challenges? Which gets me into another question for you, Annabelle. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a bit about your vision for the magazine. You know, you launched this in August of 2018. So let's talk about, you know, you got established, you have the government job, now you're getting back to you, right? You're getting back to
right.
Your mommy, you know, you're in this, and you want to, you know, reconnect with your professional passion. So
right.
Let's talk about your vision for the magazine.
So basically, I thought about several things. I started doing some research. I saw that, you know, there are some cities around the country that have, you know, their daily publications. You have the New York Times, who I believe it was back in 2009, they launched a very popular publication called The Motherlode, which is now Well Parent. And it was basically a publication that was focused on stories about moms. I also saw that other newspapers around the country had done similar things. And I thought, well, here in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles County population is made up of majority of women and girls. There are several outlets that cater to parenting and being a mom and being parents. And there's so many blogs that give us a lot of insight as to fun things to do this weekend and museums you must take the kids to. But I realized that there wasn't really like a women's magazine that pretty much helped share the stories to validate the women. And I realized, and I knew this because I had experienced it before, something really cool happens when you get interviewed and you throw one of your goals out there and it gets published for the world and the universe to kind of tap into. It's almost like you said it, now you're doing it. And so you put yourself in a position where even if it was a thought, it got published. So now there's like more power to it. And because I've encountered this firsthand, once I was interviewed when I did an internship in, believe it or not, Kansas City, Missouri, and the Kansas City Star interviewed me about being, a young Hispanic Latina working for the Department of Agriculture. I was on an internship, and I remember I said that after I graduated, I really wanted to go to, you know, the specific university, and I really wanted to be a journalist. And once the story was printed, I was like, I have to do this now. I said it because I know I feel it. So now I have to do it. So thinking back on that, my vision was to hear women's stories, specifically women who are raising the next generation of Angelenos. You know, we live in a very diverse city. We live in a city that has adopted many progressive ideas in terms of, you know, what we feel about society. Women here are very interested in doing, I mean, from what I've encountered, we support the environment. We support, raising kids in a city that's happy and healthy and diverse and welcoming. And so my idea was, let's start tapping into some of these women. How are they managing? How are they balancing? And what are they planning for themselves, for their city, for their children? So my vision was to validate women through stories of how they've made things happen in Los Angeles. And pretty much that's what I've done. And I've sat down with dozens of women. And I also have a staff of writers and freelancers. All of them are moms, because the idea here is we're all kind of in this together. And if I send a fellow friend or a mom on a photography shoot and he has to cancel because the baby's sick. Listen, I get it. It's okay. We will all figure it out, you know? So that was my idea. And somehow it's really worked out. And I feel like my vision has really come to life because when I, you know, when the story publishes and we do the mom features, the response we get specifically from the mom we featured, and then seeing her her ideas slowly start to materialize based on stuff she shared or things she said she had coming, and seeing that stuff happen, I'm like, we're all here kind of helping each other grow, helping each other meet each other, and becoming a web of support for each other. So that's kind of a little bit there about my vision for the magazine. And I feel like I've started something, and I feel like hopefully it will continue going toward that path where we all continue being like a big web of support, because, you know, Summer, every mom needs her tribe. And I feel LA is a very big city, and sometimes it's a little intimidating to try to navigate, especially when you're a new mom. But when you have resources and you have a place that's kind of reminding you that, you know, you are enough, and, you know, you can do this, even if, you know, even if you haven't taken a shower for 3 days, or even if you're, you know, in the trenches of motherhood, it's going to be okay. And here are all of these women that are here to show you that.
I love that. I love that vision. And I love the fact that you're putting something out there, and how you described it. Once you get it published, it makes it so different. You know, you made a declaration, so to speak. And I love the idea of, you know, creating that web and that network for moms, because a lot of times, and I've heard this a lot, you become a mom and it's so fulfilling. However, it's almost like you begin to depart from your own independence and what you once had as a goal for yourself, whether it's professional, personal, whatever that is. And sometimes we have to reevaluate and say, how do I juggle all of this and get back to me and what I once envisioned for myself personally? And I love
Absolutely.
That you've done that. You've done that with this magazine, Mommy in Los Angeles magazine. And I think it's so enriching for you as well as for other women. And it gives them really a place to land and say, you know what, I'm not alone in this.
And the things I've learned, you know, I've learned, and I love to share these things. You know, I've visited women from all walks of life, from all backgrounds, and the certain things that I learn after each interview. There was one lady, wonderful. Her name is Alicia Beach, and she once posted a photo on Instagram where she was sitting on the toilet, and her baby, who had just started learning how to walk, came to find her in the bathroom and wanted a latch on. And that photo went viral, you know, and some people were really criticizing her. So that's kind of gross. That's disgusting. How are you sitting on the toilet? Listen, this was her reality, and she chose to show. But that's a little story about Alicia. But here's what I really loved about Alicia. She's busy. She's got several kids. She's also got stepkids, and she's also in the process of adopting a child. So when I went to her house, she, you know, kids are asking questions, and she's got so many things to attend to, and she's also got a mom forum. But I noticed that in her kitchen, she had this giant jigsaw puzzle. And every now and then when things got a little loud, I was just kind of there observing. She would go and she would try to find a piece and just kind of, you know, match it to the area of the puzzle where it fit. And then I asked her about it. She's like, look, this is some me time. When everything is busy, I just do simple little things to get me to calm down, to relax. And, you know, it's a jigsaw puzzle on her kitchen counter. And these are the stories that I love to share, because we all have a story, and we all have things that overwhelm us and that make us busy and worried, and that make us feel like, oh my God, am I really a mom? And is this really happening? But when you find small things to make life better, and then you share those, and you teach other women how others are kind of just making some quiet peace out of chaos, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's, it all goes to show, and that's part, like I said, part of my vision is, you know, every mom has a story. And Los Angeles, of course, being that I'm a native Angelina, I say Los Angeles is the best city to share it. But the stories that I've learned and the things that I've encountered have been so rewarding and so enriching. And I just don't see myself, you know, quitting this project. I started as an online platform. The print issue went out in August. And, you know, it's been a learning process. And, you know, meeting people like Leah Unsugarcoated, who introduced me to you, Summer, you right. know, this is what makes this, you know, this project so meaningful to me, because the type of women that I meet and the experiences that I get to, you know, have are really priceless.
I fully agree. I absolutely agree, because this platform, you know, I met Aaliyah via Instagram, and from there I was able to talk to her, have her as a guest on the Core Women podcast, and then also get to meet her as I went out to Los Angeles and created a women empowerment film. So she was part of it. Other women that I met on Instagram and in person and, you know, through other people came out from Washington, Oregon, and were part of that film just by the medium of social media, which was amazing.
That's fantastic. That's so exciting.
Right? So it was
absolutely
fantastic. And so I'm just so impressed by all of the stories that I get to hear from women about their journeys. And this is exactly why, one, I created Core Women. Because as a doctor of psychology, mm-hmm. when I did my research, I started out thinking about, do I want to do qualitative or quantitative research? Do I want to talk about the numbers, or do I want to talk about people's stories? So sure. as a researcher, I decided 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that I wanted to talk about their stories, because stories are so meaningful. They just tell me so much about a human being and how they function and you know, how they've developed throughout their life and what was meaningful to them and so much more. And when I started Core Women, I thought one of the things I'm going to do to give back to community, to other women, is to create this podcast so they can talk about their journeys. And I absolutely
love that.
I get to talk to people like you and go, yay, look what she's doing.
This is really cool.
Right?
You know, we are in an era where our voices, I mean, not that they never mattered before, but I think more people are paying attention to what women are saying. And I just feel like it's such a good time for Core Women and for your podcast and this project. But I'm curious in terms of, and I don't need to, you know, be interviewing you or asking you questions, Summer, but I'm curious as to what were some of the more interesting findings that you came across after, you know, during your research?
Well, are you talking about my research as a psychologist or my research into Core Women?
Into Core Women, yes.
Okay, so when I started Core Women, the inspiration came from, I'm from California, but I currently live in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area. And so sure. I was here and I thought, you know what, I need to take a break. I've been working so much and I want to go back to California and I want to reconnect with my girlfriends. And I sat there thinking, I got to get back. I got to get back home. I'm from Northern California. I'm from like near the San Francisco, Monterey Bay area in Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, you know what, I need to get back. And my girlfriends I met in college are girlfriends that have stuck with me and we've stuck together. And so we met back in Newport Beach and we just hung out for 3 days. And all we did was play games, talk, work. Yes, we did a little work. And as I was sitting around in the living room with them and they were talking, I just sat back and watched them. And I thought to myself, wow, does every woman have this? Does every woman have a group or a core group of women that they can connect
with? Wow, that is amazing.
Right? And I thought, I am so lucky. I'm so lucky to have them in my life. And just sitting here is meaningful to me. Being able to, you know, hear them, watch them interact, I am so full of inspiration, love, you know, I just feel at home. And that was the tagline for Core Women. It's a special place for the hearts and souls of women. And so I thought, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do some research. I'm going to do some research and find out whether or not women feel embraced by other women in community. I want to do some research as to whether or not, you know, other women feel like they have a mentor to go to at work in their workplace. And I can tell you about 30 to 40% of those people that I survey said, no, they don't have that. And no, they don't feel embraced by other women when they go into community. And I'm like, really? We can do better than this, ladies. We can do better than this.
Absolutely.
So I was like, I am going to establish Core Women because I think that we have so much to offer and so much to give, and we can embrace each other rather than feeling like we're working against each other. There's better ways of doing this, and how can we figure that out together? And so
I love it. I think absolutely.
And so that is exactly, you know, in a nutshell, that's exactly the reason for Core Women. And from that, I diversify what Core Women is. So I'm doing film. I'm going to be doing a film in New York in February. I do the podcast. I do, you know, rather than, and I made a transition from going to doing clinical work in a hospital or a locked facility, which I did for several years, I wanted to be a coach. So I'm a strategic empowerment coach for women. So, and doing seminars, that's going to end, you know, digital seminars and such. So a lot of
how motivating,
right?
I think so that is just great. And I can't wait to see more of you out here in Los Angeles. I think that is really cool.
Thank you so much. And thank you for asking the question. So I do want to get back to one more question for you, Annabelle.
Sure. Absolutely. So, yep.
I'm going to ask you two more questions. If you were to say or indicate what was the primary challenge that you confronted with getting Mommy in Los Angeles magazine off the ground, and how did you overcome it?
It's going to go back to a little bit of what we discussed earlier in terms of, you know, being married and having a partner and children. But the primary challenge for me was, and it still is, because I think this is going to be one of those things that, you know, kind of continues. And once somebody has asked me, you know, how do you find balance? Well, I think that there's no such thing as balance when you're trying to juggle so much. But I think that the balance comes in the form of happiness, meaning in the middle of feeling like there's too much to do and feeling overwhelmed, you take a small moment to do something you really enjoy, and that's your balance. And that's how I've seen it. And that's kind of how I've, you know, taken care of finding balance, okay? But the biggest challenge is probably when you really love something and you really believe in it, and there's not necessarily a lot of income to show that it's a success. I mean, we had advertisers, sure, but when you're launching something for the first time, you're not expecting to make a huge profit, or you're not expecting to, you know, be wealthy after you launch your product. It's your baby, it's your dream project, and it almost doesn't matter, right? So for me, it was like, I have a job, so I fortunately have that source of income where we can still make the mortgage payment and still put the kids through, you know, daycare and school. And the magazine was a dream project, but I felt like it's a very promising one because it's a women's magazine with an angle on motherhood, and it's hyper-local. However, my husband, he was more of a result. You know, he wants to see the return on the investment type of guy. And on top of that, channeled with, you know, he, you know, figuring out that I need to spend more time with him and dealing with him, thinking it may not necessarily be the best project that I'm focusing on, or the most beneficial thing to like kind of put all my eggs into this particular basket. So my biggest challenge was, and like I said, it continues to be, is showing my husband that it's okay to do something that you really believe in, even if, you know, you're not making tons of money from it, or you are not, you know, benefiting in a way that he, you know, how he places a value, how he perceives success may be different than how you do. And because we're still married and we're raising boys, that has been my biggest challenge. Not that he's not supportive, because listen, he even jumped into the project and helped out with sales at one point. But, you know, convincing him that it's okay to do something you love, and, you know, if you continue believing in it, the rewards will be much bigger than you can imagine, even if it's not necessarily financial. That would probably be my biggest challenge. Does that make sense?
That absolutely makes sense. And I think, you know, I have also encountered that with my own husband, and it's not mm-hmm. something that, and I've heard it from other women as well. And what's funny is we're going down something that's more non-traditional in regards to a route that we envision and love and for a project that we really want to embrace.
Right.
And it's not about the income. Eventually it will be, and that's a part of it as a strategic empowerment coach for women. I do want to say that part of this process is also understanding that you can embrace and feel okay about embracing this will make money. You know, this will bring in an income, but it starts with love and it starts with nurturing.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm happy to hear you say it, because that what you basically, your words help validate my vision, my idea on this.
Absolutely. And I get it. I totally get it, because I'm working sometimes from 9 or 10 in the morning or earlier to 4 in the morning. And my husband's like, are you going to get up? Are you going to get out of that office? Are you going to? And I'm like, no, this is me right now. And he understands.
Yeah.
And then there's times where I'm like, okay, you know what? I need to take a step back. And, you know, I get questions from friends, from family, from husband. How much are you making? Is this profitable? Is this, you know? And for me, that's not even a question. Like, that's right now, this is my desire. This is what I'm getting back to. This is what I'm embracing. And this is what I'm going to stand with, because I absolutely love it. And I absolutely love what I'm giving back to the world, right? But I will
absolutely
say that this will make money, because as much as I, you know, I love this and I embrace this, one of the goals is, how do I make a living doing this as well? And it's okay
right.
for us to ask those questions and to embrace that ideology. Because I think as women, sometimes we're like, oh, we're giving back and, you know, and that's the main goal. And yes, but you still need to make a living, and it's okay to embrace that as well.
Right. And I couldn't agree with you more. You really just said it, Summer. I think to myself, one day I'll be able to leave the government job and I'll be able to hopefully just focus on, you know, the magazine, this project that I really believe in. But for now, it's what I love, and other people seem to love it as well. I think it'll all work out in the end, as long as, you know, you believe in your project, you keep at it. And, you know, even though that's been a challenge for me, I think we've managed to figure out ways that everything works out. I dedicate certain hours of certain weekdays only to the magazine. And for example, Sunday mornings from 8 to noon, I leave, I go to Starbucks, he takes care of the kids, and I meet them at the park. And he knows that those 4 hours are to return email, to plan for the week, to get a story scheduled, to do assignment. So we have kind of created a kind of like a working plan so that I can do some work on the magazine and still, you know, give him and my children time on weekends. But it's been a challenge, but I think we'll manage.
No, you'll manage. And it's, you know, all your ideas, all your vision, your mission, your goals, you know, as long as you have your working plan, that brings balance and understanding, and you'll still feel fulfilled by bringing all of that together. And so it will come together. It just takes time. And I don't think we're the only ones out there who have these same challenges. And I think this will be validating for them to hear as well. So my last question for you is, if you were to leave the listeners with some words of wisdom today, what would they be?
I'm probably going to use a Spanish quote from my late grandmother, who was a fierce lady, a rule breaker, and just a true leader. This is my maternal grandmother. Her name was Angelina. And, you know, she was born in California, but, you know, her parents raised her in Mexico, and she eventually got married to my grandfather and decided that, you know, she didn't want to raise her children in Mexico. Poverty was, you know, awful. And so she left her husband and kids to find a place to live in California. I mean, all alone, she just knew of one contact. All this to say, My grandmother was always very happy. She was always, she never stopped being feisty, and she would be the type of person who would tell you, very modern in her, like, understood things far more even than our parents' generation in terms of LGBTQ issues. She was just really a cool lady. And one day I said, Grandma, how have you managed to always just be this awesome? How do you stay so cool and just, appreciate life, and how are you okay with things? Just even that your granddaughters have a hard time kind of, accepting. And so she said, look, the way you look is how I looked. And the way I look is how you will look if you make the most of every moment. So I think it's a Spanish saying, como te ves, me vi, y como te veo, como te ves, me vi, y como me ves, te verás. That's the way, that's the quote of Spanish. And I think what she meant to say is, you going through any type of struggles is something that I went through. But seeing me the way I am now is how you can be at my age if you make the most of every moment. So I think that would be my message to people, is make the most of every moment so that you go on and live your life without that question of, what if I would have tried this when I was in my 40s or when I was in my 30s? Right. What if I would have just gone for it and, seen, taken the risk? My advice is, give it a try. Give it all you've got, and you never know what amazing things can happen.
Absolutely. And I love those words of wisdom. And I love the fact that, people can try new things at any age. And
absolutely.
That's such a valuable message. So thank you so much for being on the Core Women podcast with me today, Annabelle. I really appreciate it.
Summer, this has been such a wonderful space. I thank you for inviting me into it. And I look forward to, meeting you and hearing more from all of the wonderful women that you interview on your podcast. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to know more about Mommy in Los Angeles Magazine, please go to mommyinlosangelesmagazine.com or follow her on Instagram. If you need a strategic empowerment coach, contact me. If you want to tell your story of empowerment or how you have reconstructed your life to drive change, send me a video or an email of your story, providing permission to use it on my social media platforms. If you want to be featured on my podcast, reach out to me at info@corewomen.com. I want to hear from you and to get to know you. You are now part of the Core Women home. Let's get to know each other. Let's learn from one another. Please follow Core Women on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please let your women friends know about this podcast. If you write about Core Women in your social media posts, please hashtag Core Women. This is all about women. Thank you for taking the time to learn more about Core Women, and please stay tuned for continued growth of the Core Women movement. Let's grow and drive change together.